Let us pray. By these holy gifts which we have received, O Lord, bring your grace to perfection within us. And as you fulfilled Simeon's expectation that he would not see death until he had been privileged to welcome the Christ, so may we, going forth to meet the Lord, obtain the gift of eternal life through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu
benedicat vos omnipotens Deus, Pater et Filius et Spiritus Sanctus.
Amen.
Ite missa est.
Deo gratias.
We now join our regularly scheduled program, Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, already in progress.
Living today, we need that truth. And the truth in Christ allows us to see truth in the world around us. And it takes those blinders off. We don't walk around in darkness. I mean, it is sin that leaves us in darkness. I mean, we know that God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. I mean, is our hearts hardened? Are our hearts hardened? Are we not seeing what's really going on in the world? And are we not seeking that truth? That's the first step in the right direction, is to really seek the truth. And often we see so many people who so badly want to believe what they believe in to be the truth, instead of seeking the truth or having their own defined truth, your own quote-unquote truth. That is not truth. Your truth is not necessarily truth in Christ. That's the truth we should be seeking, right? And we should stand up for what is right and just. We should speak the truth in all aspects of life. Sometimes it's really difficult, especially when you're having conversations that are critical, controversial, could be challenging, goes against the quote-unquote culture, but we still have to speak it. We still have to stand up for it. I mean, there's a story in the news I'm going to read that majority of Americans don't have faith in the direction the country's going in. You know, and we're living in a world where mainstream media is so agenda-driven, and that we've seen reports and studies that say, you know, more than 60% of journalists don't believe in that they have to share two sides of a story or be balanced, that what they believe in should be presented and not both sides of a story. So we have to stand up for what is right and just. We can't depend on the secular world and the mainstream media to share facts all the time. That's why Teresa has Fact Check Friday. I might have to do that tomorrow. I didn't even think about that. I might have to do a Fact Check Friday. We'll see if I can find one, but there's a lot out there. But it's so important that we check our facts, like really check our facts and do our research. But it starts with seeking that truth in Christ first. Ask the Lord, show me truth. Let me see it. It may be hard for you to accept it. I mean, that whole line in the movie with Jack Nicholson, you can't handle the truth. We all should be able to handle the truth. We all should be wanting the truth and seeking the truth. We have a very great show lineup here on the EWTN National Hour. Dr. Michael Foley will be joining us. He's a professor at Baylor University, a Catholic theologian, and the author and editor of more than a dozen books and around 500 articles on topics including sacred liturgy, St. Augustine of Hippo, and contemporary film and culture. He co-authored a book with Father Leo Petalinghug of Dining with the Saints, The Sinner's Guide to Righteous Feast, and we'll be talking with him about that book today. Looking forward to that conversation about his book. And it's available, I'm sure, on the EWTN and Ave Maria Radio Bookstore. Dining with the Saints, The Sinner's Guide to a Righteous Feast. Michael Foley's fans have been devoutly drinking with the Saints for years, and now it's time to have dinner with him. And it's a close look to the Saints of while upping your dinner game. Now, every meal can be a family feast with the Saints. Dining with the Saints brings the Catholic liturgical year to life, pairing over 200 saint stories with irresistible smorgasbord of international recipes. So this is very, what a cool idea, great conversation. We'll be talking about the Feast of the Presentation with him as well. And I understand there is actually a recipe on the Candleman's recipe, which the Feast of the Presentation is also known as a Candleman's Day. So we'll talk with Dr. Michael Foley about that. And then Chelsea Yuman will be joining us from the Texas State. She is the Texas State Director and National Legislative Advisor. And we'll be talking with her about the new Minnesota law that has no limits on abortion and that can be restricted in a pregnancy. While it might be reported as protecting a right to abortion, the law is actually one of the most extreme in the country. So we'll be talking with her about that and all the work that she's done. Chelsea is an attorney. She serves the Pro-Life Coalition as well as women and their preborn children. She advocates for pro-life policies and jurisprudence, mobilizing and unifying local grassroots to strengthen the pro-life movement and its footprint, and engaging with public to ultimately strengthen the community's desire to enable women and protect pre-born children. Chelsea's professional experience includes working as senior counsel and chief of staff for the First Liberty Institute, concentrating on religious liberty matters and First Amendment rights. At First Liberty Institute, she litigated on behalf of and advised hundreds of clients regarding conscience rights nationwide. She also has worked in private practice where she successfully litigated corporate fraud matters, complex commercial litigation, and consumer rights issues in both federal and state jurisdictions. So Chelsea holds a Bachelor's of Arts degree in political science, and she is an attorney. She's happily married with two children, and they're very active in their church. So we'll be talking with Chelsea here this morning on Catholic Connection. It's a great show lineup here on the show. And I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tamio here this morning on this Thursday. I'll be back in the host chair again tomorrow. And again, the show quote I picked for my own show, Epiphany, so the show quote of the day that I wanted to share with you is from St. Catherine of Siena. Speak the truth in a million voices. It is silence that kills. So maybe think about that and meditate on that. Meditate on scripture today. Maybe do a Lectio Divina approach to the mass readings today, or pull a quote from one of the mass readings today, the gospel reading today, and really take that to prayer and ask the Lord to show you truth. We are approaching 8 minutes past the hour here on Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tamio, and now it's time for the news. So here in Michigan and the northern part of our state, Sault Ste. Marie is going to have a high of 19 degrees, while in Detroit we'll have a high of 26 degrees with sunny skies. There's going to be a cold front around the country the next few days. In Buffalo, New York, 24 is a high. Boston, 31 is the high. We're looking at 40 degrees, cloudy skies in Norfolk. Charlotte is 49 degrees. In Atlanta, 54 degrees. Jacksonville, Florida, 79 is the high. Of course, Florida is going to have some high temperatures. 80 degrees today in Miami, 82 in Tampa. 60 degrees and cloudy skies in New Orleans. Memphis is expecting some rain showers today with a mix of snow with a high of 35 degrees. Houston, 43 degrees with cloudy skies. San Antonio, 36 degrees with rain showers expected. El Paso, mostly cloudy skies, 55 degrees. And then Phoenix, high of 68 with sunny skies. Los Angeles is going to be sunny with a high of 66. San Francisco, partly cloudy skies with a high of 56. And Seattle, partly cloudy skies and a high of 49 degrees. 20 Republican state attorney generals are telling CVS and Walgreens that their plans to distribute abortion pills through the mail are both unsafe and illegal. The officials said in a letter sent Wednesday that federal law prohibits anyone from using the mail to send or receive any drug that would be used or applied for producing an abortion. Last month, the Department of Justice, however, said in a legal finding that the Postal Service is legally allowed to deliver prescription abortion drugs, even in states that have restricted access to abortion. President Biden will deliver the State of the Union address next week, but many Americans feel the nation is going in the wrong direction Rory O'Neill reports.
Glum is a word Gallup is using to describe the mood of the nation. Only 23% of Americans say they are broadly satisfied with the way things are going in the country today. The rest are dissatisfied. Nearly half very dissatisfied. Opportunity and quality of life still rank high, but that's about it. Income inequality and the moral and ethical climate in the U.S. rank at the bottom of the Gallup poll.
President Biden and members of the Congressional Black Caucus will meet at the White House today to discuss police reform. The meetings follows last week's release of a footage showing Memphis police officers beating Tyree Nichols. He died days later. The White House says Biden will host a small group of caucus members to talk police reform legislation and other shared priorities. Bitter cold wind chills will descend on millions of people in Northeast tonight. The National Weather Service is issuing a wind chill warning for areas that are home to more than 15 million people beginning tonight and into Friday morning. Meanwhile, winter storms in the Southwest are already canceling and delaying more than 1,000 flights today. More than half of those disrupted flights are in or out of Texas airports. Dallas-Fort Worth International is the hardest hit. As of 5 o'clock Central Time this morning, 510 flights at the airport had been canceled. The Federal Reserve raised interest rates a quarter percentage point and has signaled plans to raise rates again next month as they continue to battle inflation. Aaron Real reports.
The decision Wednesday followed six consecutive rate rises that were larger, including an increase of a half point in December and 75 basis points in November. The latest increase caps a year that saw the Fed lift its benchmark federal funds rate from near zero to a range between 4.5 and 4.75, a level last reached in 2007. The Federal Reserve targets a 2% inflation rate. We are currently at 6.5%, and further increases are expected at the next FOMC meetings in March and again in May.
Ukraine's prosecutor general said regional authorities have registered more than 65,000 Russian war crimes since the invasion nearly 1 year ago. Mark Mayfield has that story.
Andriy Kostin said in remarks at Georgetown Law School on Wednesday that the evidence in liberated cities, towns, and regions includes mass burial sites in areas that were occupied by Russian troops. Kostin said the crimes also include indiscriminate shelling of civilians, willful killing, torture, sexual violence, looting, and displacement on a massive scale.
A man will spend 6 years in prison for a July crash that seriously injured a Colorado Springs police officer. Cole Sherrod was sentenced yesterday on a charge of vehicular assault while under the influence. Officer Nicholas Hamaker was left with a brain injury as well as lasting damage to his arm and foot following the crash. Sherrod was on parole at the time of the crash. An investigation is underway after a New Jersey councilwoman was found shot to death in her car last night. Natalie McGlory reports.
Cops say 30-year-old Eunice Jumpfor was discovered with multiple gunshot wounds inside her car in front of her Sayreville home just before 7:30. The councilwoman's Nissan was towed from her townhouse on Point of Woods Drive, but officials think she crashed down the street. Police believe she was targeted, but the motive isn't clear. The Sayreville councilwoman was only elected last year.
A bill being considered by lawmakers in Massachusetts would allow prisoners to reduce their sentences if they become organ donors. Supporters say it could help the thousands of people on lists waiting for organ donations, likely saving many lives. However, opponents say it sounds like harvesting organs and it's not a humane proposal. Ventura County authorities are searching for a missing 22-year-old man. Daniel Martindale has the story.
Zachary Zernick was last seen by family members on Saturday morning. He was reported missing after he didn't show up for work on Monday. Ventura County Sheriff's deputies have found Zernick's vehicle abandoned at the Windy Portero trailhead in Thousand Oaks. Search and rescue crews have been combing through that area.
Gas prices are down slightly. AAA puts today's nationwide average at $3.49 a gallon, a 1 cent drop from this time yesterday. Prices at the pump are highest in Hawaii at $4.93 a gallon. On the flip side, Texas continues to be the nation's low price leader, with drivers in the Lone Star State paying $3.12 a gallon on average. 14 minutes past the hour. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo filling in for Teresa Tamio. Stay with us. We'll be right back after the break.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for almost 20 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company, and it sent millions of dollars to thousands of pro-life charities. 5G coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. Live chat and a video introduction are available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Isn't it awesome that we today do not recognize his presence in the Eucharist? Is it because we really don't go to him in humbleness of heart and say, Lord, I don't believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I want to see you. I want to recognize you. I cannot live without you. Are we saying that?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Our next guest is a professor at Baylor University, a Catholic theologian, the author and editor of more than a dozen books and around 500 articles on the topics of sacred liturgy, St. Augustine of Hippo, and contemporary film and culture. He co-authored the book with Father Leo Petalinghug of Dining with the Saints, The Sinner's Guide to a Righteous Feast. How are you, Dr. Michael Foley? Thank you for joining us here on Catholic Connection.
Thank you so much for having me on.
So what inspired you and Father Leo to pen this latest book, The Dining with the Saints?
Well, as you know, I have written three cocktail books, Drinking with the Saints, Drinking with St. Nick, Drinking with Your Patron Saints. And it dawned on me.
Now we're dining with them.
Books, yeah, I thought, you know, you should probably have food if you're going to be drinking.
Yeah, that would probably help, right?
Exactly. Should have written the dining book first because, you know, first have the food, then have the drink.
Yeah. So what a great person to pen this book with, Father Leo Petalinghug. How was that experience for you two to write this book together?
It was wonderful. I had never met him before. It was our publisher, Regnery, that suggested we collaborate. And, he's just wonderful. I would describe Father Leo the way I would describe his food. It's excellent, fusionist, and a little bit spicy.
He's great. I had the pleasure of seeing him speak and cook here in Michigan at the Eastern Catholic Re-Evangelization Center annual fundraiser, and it was so much fun. He was great entertainment. And this book is a lot of fun. So tell me who the target audience is, Dr. Michael Foley, when you guys penned this book. Who did you have in mind?
Every Catholic family in the world. We really, Father Leo has long had a ministry that's been very helpful, focused on the family. Our motto is the family that dines together shines together. Family meals are extremely important for the health and development of children. They're also good for adults. And the family meal is under threat. We've got busy work schedules, etc., but it's really important to have that family meal. And so this cookbook is a way of encouraging that and then also increasing your devotion to the saints.
You know, I love that you said that, too, and it's so true. As a mom, I could tell you from my own personal experience that the best conversations I've had with my daughter are over the dinner table and in the car. I mean, that's where she talks the most, is over a meal and driving in the car. And we can't discount that family meal. I think it's so important.
It is indeed. And, I'm guilty as charged. Our family started doing fewer and fewer family meals as the children got older, because they have tennis practice in the evening, and so it became more complicated to schedule dinner. But we realized this isn't healthy. It's not helping us. And so we've made this concerted effort to be better about it. And, you know, the kids aren't always happy. My teenage son joked when I said the family that dines together shines together. He replied, the family that dines together wines together. And there was some whining.
Yeah, yeah. You know, another thing, and speaking of Father Leo and penning this book with you, Dr. Michael Foley, Dining with the Saints, The Sinner's Guide to a Righteous Feast, is that cooking together can be a lot of fun. My daughter and I used to cook a lot together, and we would cook the dinner together, and we'd have so much fun doing it, and I miss that. And she actually asked that we get back into that together, and that prompts a lot of conversation. And Father Leo is all about the cooking process, too. I mean, that's part of his entertainment and his speech is cooking while he's talking.
One of his recommendations is that a husband and wife cook together once a week.
Oh, great
idea.
Not
just date night, but it's a special bonding experience. It's kind of like dancing together. You learn collaboration.
That's a great idea. So along with being a professor and an author of several books and articles and editor, you are a mixologist. Can you explain to our listeners exactly what that is?
That is a fancy term for someone who comes up with cocktail recipes.
How did that come about for you, Dr. Michael Foley? How did you get into mixology?
Well, so my wife and I have six kids, and she homeschools. So those are two reasons to drink right from the start. And we also enjoy observing the feast days of the church year, as well as an evening cocktail where we catch up on the day's events. So eventually, we decided to bring those two things together. There are already a lot of customs regarding food and meals, and we explore that in Dining with the Saints. But I was surprised to see that there's basically no Catholic bartender's guide. And so we very eagerly filled that gap.
That's awesome. So in terms of, you know, having a drink, do you have a favorite cocktail or do you feel like you have a cocktail that you're like you make better than anybody?
Ooh, I don't know if I make it better than anybody.
Okay.
But I will say the best cocktail I've ever had is something called the White Lady. I have it in honor of the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. It's a high maintenance drink. You have to beat egg whites and confectioner's sugar for at least 5 minutes before it forms soft peaks, and then you add it to the rest of the drink. But it's absolutely delicious.
So today's the feast day of the presentation. We're talking about Caldomus, which is also called, but you also have a recipe in there for the feast day of St. Blaise, which is tomorrow, and the blessing of our throat. So tell us about that.
That is correct. So, as you know, St. Blaise was from what is now Armenia, and he, of course, is famous for saving a child who was choking on a fish bone, and that is why we have the blessing of throats on his feast day. And so we have a wonderful recipe in the book called Blaise's Boneless Baked Armenian Fish. It's a boneless fish because we don't want to tempt St. Blaise on his feast day.
I love it. I love it. So we're talking about the book Dining with the Saints, A Sinner's Guide to Righteous Feast with Father Leo Petalinghug and our guest today, Michael Foley. Do you have a favorite recipe in the book?
I'll be honest with you. I have not gone. So the recipes are all Father Leo's, which is wonderful because he is a master chef. The one thing you do not want to do is put an Irishman in charge of the kitchen.
Okay.
So Father Leo, Father Leo's great. So I haven't gone through every recipe, but every one I have tried has just been outstanding. So I think so far my favorite is a gratin dauphinois. It's this rich potato dish. And I can't remember even now what saint he paired it with, but it's just amazing. Two of my children said, this is the best potato I've ever had.
Really? Mm. So
Very
how do
rich,
we get the book?
Creamy.
Who published the book?
It is available on Amazon, the Catholic Company, wherever fine books are sold. Barnes & Noble.
We go to a Catholic bookstore if you could. We'll put it on the EWTN. I'm sure EWTN is going to have it, and Ave Maria Radio will put it in our bookstore as well. We're going to take a break in about 30 seconds here. We're talking with Dr. Michael Foley, professor at Baylor University, a Catholic theologian, mixologist, and the author and editor of more than a dozen books and about 500 articles on the topic of sacred liturgy, St. Augustine, and contemporary film and culture. We're talking with him about his latest book, Dining with the Saints. We have to take a break, and we'll continue our conversation with him about his book.
Jesus calls his followers disciples. That's the word that we use in English, but really in the Greek New Testament, it's the word for student. Now, you might say the school of Jesus Christ is more of a trade school or technical school than it is a liberal arts college, because in the school of Jesus Christ, you learn how to live like the master lives. But it is a school. The teacher isn't just passing along information. The teacher is passing along knowledge of the ultimate purposes of God. The master is passing along the knowledge of life and the will of God concerning man. The school of Jesus Christ is a real thing, and if we are disciples of his, we've entered into that school, and by paying attention to his teaching, we will conform our lives to his.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta for Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Are we always obliged to obey our conscience? The Catholic Catechism asserts that we are always obliged to obey the certain judgment of our conscience, and that if we deliberately act against a good conscience, we condemn ourselves. On the other hand, our moral conscience may remain in ignorance, and thus we can make erroneous judgments about acts performed in the future or those performed in the past. If ignorance is caused by personal responsibility or negligence, we are culpable of the sin we commit. Some of the causes of erroneous judgment can be ignorance of Christ and his gospel, bad examples of peers, enslavement to one's passion, rejection of the church's authority and her teaching, lack of conversion and lack of charity. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Dining with the Saints, the Sinner's Guide to a Righteous Feast. That is what we're talking about with Dr. Michael Foley here today, professor at Baylor University. And there's a lot of Catholic cookbooks out there, Michael. You penned this one with Father Leo. What makes this different than other Catholic cookbooks out there?
I think besides Father Leo's excellent recipes, there are two things that make it distinctive. The first is that I really dug deep in the lives of the saints to try to figure out what their dining habits were, if they had a favorite dish, what kind of meals they ate. And I didn't see that same attention to history in other books. And then the second thing is we really tried to remain loyal, if you will, to the Catholic culinary tradition. We didn't just sort of randomly pair a meal with a saint. We try to find if there was a tradition in a certain region for a certain food on a certain feast day.
Wow, that took some research, because I'm sure that's not easily found.
But I found some surprising things. Like I thought I studied theology. I thought I knew St. Thomas Aquinas. I discovered that basically all the miracles immediately after his death involved him curing people of fish allergies.
Wow.
Which is just kind of random, but the last thing he ate was actually fish. And then Dominicans would pray to him that had fish allergies, and he would cure them.
Yeah. Yeah, wow, that's really cool. See, you never know what you're going to find when you start doing research. So do you enjoy cooking yourself?
I do. It's kind of like going to confession. I don't like thinking about it, like, oh, I have to go to confession, I have to cook. Uh-huh. But then once I'm doing it, I'm like, yeah, what's the problem? This is great.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. So tell us a little bit about your work as a professor. You've written several books and authors, and you've written about the catechism, the Catholic theology. But you've also written about contemporary film and culture. Tell us about that.
That is something I'll just occasionally dabble in. I like to write about films with Catholic themes or even shows. You know, I've written about Mad Men, the show that was on several years ago. It's just a way of trying to see the intersection of art and ideas.
Great. So, and then what about your work? Like you've written about St. Augustine. Is that one of your favorite saints?
Absolutely. So, and he's my sort of main bread and butter. He's what I work on the most. I have edited an edition of his autobiography, The Confessions, and I have translated four of his works and provided a commentary on them. I just think he's a marvelous saint, and he just, how do I put it? He wears so well. There's something very contemporary about his voice, and yet also timeless.
What can we learn from him? Like, what have you learned from him over the years, and what can we learn from St. Augustine?
Well, as one of my teachers put it, St. Augustine was one of the three great authors of the West who wrote with his blood. That is to say, you can just feel the intensity in his writings. The other two, by the way, were Pascal and Kierkegaard. But I think we can learn from that intensity. He communicates a passion for God. He arouses your love for God. And he reminds you that God is merciful. You know, another great line about St. Augustine is that he reminds us that all saints have a past and all sinners have a future.
Wow, I love that. Why is it important for us? You incorporate the saints in your new cookbook with Father Leo, but why is it important for us to know saints and research saints? There's so many. I mean, why is it important for us to know the saints?
Because it's good to be well-connected. It's good to have friends in heaven is one reason, right? Their power of intercession. But I think the other reason is encouragement, that saints come from every age and culture. And that is a reminder that we, in our age and our culture, can become saints as well. And there are many ways to become a saint. And their diversity of gifts and ministries is a testimony to that.
Well, we're all called to holiness, and we're all called to be saints. We, you know, no one enters heaven without being a saint. So that's a great point, too, is that they're role models for us, especially in the world we live in today. We need more role models. You're a father of six. I mean, I'm sure you want your children to have role models in the saints and not what the secular world is offering us today.
That's exactly right. And there's such a contradiction to, you know, giving into the age.
Yeah. You know, every year my husband and I and my daughter, we each pick a saint to have a devotion to learn about, to read about. Last year, Elena picked Blessed Carlo Acutis. This year, she picked St. Catherine of Siena. I have St. Francis de Sales this year. And,
wonderful.
My husband, St. Joseph. And St. Francis de Sales, I picked him selfishly. Last year, Dr. Michael Foley, I picked St. Anthony to help me find my way in certain areas of my career, like help me with direction. And then this year I picked St. Francis de Sales because I'm working on some books I want to get published. So,
excellent.
So kind of selfish reasons you tap into saints that, you know, have lived similar lives that you're living today, that you ask for help. I mean, can you speak to our listeners about that? I mean, we're all in different careers and different ministries, and saints can help us and pray for us.
That's exactly right. And I just have to say, you picked your saint well. St. Francis de Sales is one of my favorites as well. To me, he's Augustinian in the best sense of that term, but he's so good at speaking to lay persons like you and me and saying, You are called to become a saint where you are, in your family life, in your professional life. If you spent, you, layperson, if you spent your whole day in church like a monk, you would be doing something wrong because you'd be neglecting your family. Just as if a monk spent all day outside the cloister doing some other kind of work, he'd be betraying his vocation. We've all got our vocation, and so just do it and become holy in the process.
I love that. That's what a great message to share with us. We have about a minute left with you, Dr. Michael Foley, professor at Baylor University. What else do you want to share with our listeners here on Catholic Connection before we let you go?
Oh, geez, I don't know. I guess returning to the book, I'm really excited about it. It was a wonderful collaboration. The first time I've ever co-written something with somebody, and it was a marvelous experience. And I pray that it will strengthen Catholic family life.
Amen to that. Dining with the Saints, The Sinner's Guide to a Righteous Feast. Dr. Michael Foley, professor at Baylor University, penned that book with Father Leo Padalinghug. It's available. You can look to our bookstore at EWTN and Ave Maria Radio, and where there's local Catholic bookstores as well. Thank you so much, Dr. Michael Foley, for joining us here on Catholic Connection.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
I'm a big proponent, by the way, of buying books for our listeners for gifts. So this is a great gift to give to somebody, especially if you know a couple that's engaged. It's a great Valentine's gift, a family gift, a housewarming gift. Dining with the Saints, The Sinner's Guide to a Righteous Feast. Stay with us, everyone. There's more to come here on Catholic Connection.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I'm operating on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I don't feel well, even when I'm annoyed, when I'm down and out. During my recovery from an automobile accident, immense numbers of people wrote to me and sent me emails, 50,000, and they told me how helpful they thought my talks on EWTN were to them. I'm delighted. But I want you to know, I'm nobody's fool. The talks that were helpful, the sentences that were helpful, the phrases that were helpful, came from the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the styrofoam packaging came from me. I did that. And styrofoam doesn't amount to very much.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
You know, maybe we need to ask ourselves, do we really know Jesus? Maybe another way to ask that would be, how familiar are you with the Gospels? When I was living in D.C., I was on the plane taking a late flight home, sitting next to a young girl. She was probably 16, 17. I had my collar on and we got talking, and she said, somehow in the course of the conversation, she acknowledged that she was running away from home and was in the midst of an awful lot of difficulties that were going on. Her story seemed to be remarkably akin to the story of the prodigal son, which we just heard this past Sunday at Mass, huh? And so I started to speak a little bit about that with her. And I said, you sound a little bit like the younger son in the story of the prodigal son. And she looked at me like I was from Mars. And I said, are you not familiar with the story of the prodigal son? And she says, no, never heard it. And I just looked at her and I says, oh my goodness, are you in for a wonderful evening?
Welcome back to Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, filling in for Teresa Tamio. Our next guest serves as the Pro-Life Coalition, as well as women and their preborn children, by advocating for pro-life policies and jurisprudence, mobilizing and unifying local grassroots to strengthen the pro-life movement and its footprint, and engaging with the public to ultimately strengthen our community's desire to enable women and protect preborn children. Please welcome Chelsea Yeoman. Chelsea, thank you so much for joining us here on Catholic Connection.
It's great to be with you this morning.
So let's talk about this new Minnesota law regarding no limits to abortions. Tell us about this and what's going on here.
Well, for those who don't know, Minnesota Saturday morning passed what is the most extreme abortion law our country has ever seen. They passed a law that allows abortion for any reason up until birth. And so traditionally in, you know, third trimester, doctors are going to deliver a baby or have a C-section to make sure that there's a live human being born at the end of that day. And instead now there's no limits really on abortion. And they also rejected common sense, humanitarian protections, things like partial birth abortions are still going to be allowed now in Minnesota. Things like a child or survivor who is born alive after an abortion, which does happen, instead of allowing life-saving care for that child, the doctors no longer have to perform that. And so it's really a time to grieve, I think, as a nation, and take a serious look at where we are on abortion.
Yeah, this is truly tragic. It was passed by very slim margins, though, correct? It wasn't, like, widely passed. It was, like, was it 34 to 33? Down
yes,
the party line.
Yes, it's my understanding across party lines. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. That's the world we live in today, Chelsea, is that we're so politically divisive and it's like everything is across party lines. Nobody is crossing parties and having discussions. Can you speak to that, especially when it comes to the abortion issue? I mean, I you know, there's a lot of belief that the reason there wasn't a red wave is because of the abortion issue, because of Roe v. Wade and the abortion issues at the state level.
You know, it depends what how you look at it. You know, that's a very common talking point. But when you mm-hmm. look at Republicans who are really strong on their beliefs on the value of human children in the womb, who pushed back on those narratives, I think Governor DeSantis is a big way to, one to look at. Of course, Governor Abbott in Texas, who just passed the Texas Heartbeat Act.
Yeah.
They all fared very well. They gave the Republican bases something to be motivated to come out and vote for. And I think that that's actually a big win, especially when you consider that the abortion industry paid $250 million yeah. in abortion advertisements. And that doesn't even include all the free publicity they got out of the media for 9 full months. I mean, it was a full barrage. And I think Americans still understand at the end of the day, there are humans in the womb and they are living in the womb. It's little children. And the more that we talk about the humanity of the child in the womb, the more people, I think, feel connected to that issue and see the truth and light into that darkness.
You know, that's a really good point, Chelsea. I mean, in the pro-life movement, you're up against really a Goliath because of the amount of money, and they get taxpayer dollars. I mean, Planned Parenthood alone gets $500 million in taxpayer dollars for their efforts, and they go around and support pro-abortion candidates and put the money out to pass, like, Proposal 3 here in the state of Michigan, millions of dollars put into Proposal 3 and pro-abortion candidates. So you're right. So what do we do now when law is this extreme, the most extreme law we have in a country in Minnesota? What do we do in the pro-life side to continue fighting this fight?
Yes, that is the right question. You know, at Human Coalition, my organization, we serve pregnant women in need day in and day out. And we always think, you know, the left can try to put as many women on buses and planes and get them across state lines to California to abort their children. They can pay for them as much as they want. But at the end of the day, if we're serving her and alleviating the challenges she's facing, the reason she's actually seeking an abortion, she's going to choose life. We know that 76% of our clients say if their circumstances were different, they would prefer to parent. And that's a powerful thing for us to know as communities, as Christians, as society, to say women deserve better, women want better. Let's actually find these long-term solutions for them. And so Minnesota can, they're looking to defund their local pregnancy resource centers, and it's on us as a movement to say, we're going to help fund those centers, right, and step into that space. And then at Human Coalition, we also seek to compete head-to-head with the abortion industry for government dollars. And so we're looking to move into these states to get grants so that we can serve more women, because we know that their needs after Roe are the same challenges and needs that they had before Roe.
Yeah, and instead of helping these women with long-term solutions to the challenges that they're facing so they can keep their baby and raise their baby, their only answer is have the abortion. So what are some of the challenges, Chelsea, that you help women today navigate through, those women that truly want to keep their baby?
Yes, well, I think it starts with asking them, which we ask every single client, you know, why are you getting an abortion? And they're really typically simple solutions. They just require time and help at this moment in her life when she needs it most. It's things like affordable childcare. She often, most often has a child already. There's affordable rent issues. Sometimes she just wants some support. She doesn't feel supported by her partner most of the time in keeping her child. And to know that there are people who can walk alongside her and help her through this moment, it makes all the difference, not only in her life, but in her unborn child's life. And so we start that process by virtually. She clicks through to us. She's immediately on the phone with a licensed nurse who begins this process with her. And then we refer her into a local resource, a local pregnancy resource center, who is our favorite partner in the movement, for free sonograms and to start having that immediate interpersonal care. So that's what it looks like on our end, but it's going to take an entire movement. You know, we have our pregnancy resource centers outnumber abortion clinics across the country 4-to-1. That's huge. We need to network that. We need to leverage that and be unified as a movement to serve these women, because I think there's enough of us in the movement ready to go. But it's a matter of withstanding these fights and coordinating together.
You know, I'm going to ask you this question, but you can answer it after the break, Chelsea. Do you think some of that has to do with the fact that, you know, Planned Parenthood has so much money to brand themselves, you know, and the pregnancy centers don't have like that national brand, you know, that national umbrella that enables them to market and brand themselves the way Planned Parenthood has? Of course, the money, we don't have anywhere near the money that the Planned Parenthood has. So you can just think about that. We're going to take a break. You can answer that when we come back. We're talking with Chelsea Yeoman here on Catholic Connection. Stay with us, everyone.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
I'm angry, frustrated. Sound like you? Someone you know? Well, it could be any of us from time to time. But there's different types of anger. It's not so cut and dry. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. One thing is for sure, you don't need to suffer with anger frustration. In my book, Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration, you'll learn whether your anger is a product of your nature or your nurture, and how to regulate those emotions and those thoughts. You can get Living Calm and all my other books at AveMariaRadio.net.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak from More to Life. A new poll found that 85% of kids raised in Catholic homes leave the church by adulthood. But similar research shows that there is hope. Learn what you can do to help your kids become faithful adults in our new free webinar sponsored by Ave Maria Radio. Against the Odds, the Keys to Raising Faithful Catholic Kids, on Wednesday, February 8th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Sign up for free today at catholichom.com/webinar. That's catholichom.com/webinar.
Talking to Chelsea Yeoman, she's with serves the Pro-Life Coalition. And Chelsea, I asked you a question before the break about how Planned Parenthood has a lot of money and has been able to brand themselves over the years. And even though the crisis pregnancy centers outnumber abortion clinics, there isn't that one umbrella brand in the country. So sometimes they're competing against you know, all this money and a giant with Planned Parenthood. What would you say to that?
Well, that's absolutely accurate. I mean, I think the last number I saw come out of the federal government is that Planned Parenthood is receiving $700 million from the federal government, and that doesn't always include the state Medicaid reimbursement. So many states are funneling as much money to Planned Parenthood as possible. And there is a solution to that. At Human Coalition, we call it the National Rescue System, building in non-abortion-centered care for women, holistic care for women, into federal programs and state programs. We currently work with Alternatives to Abortion in Texas and seven other similar programs in other states. I think states want to know, in this moment in time, after Roe, how do we best care for women? And I think our movement can do that. That's foundational to our movement. We've always loved pregnant women in need and cared for them and met them where they're at for decades now. And so we are the expert on her, and we are the experts at advocating for her as a movement, because we know she doesn't really want abortion. She wants help. And so doing that through advocating at the state level and then, of course, at the federal level, and everybody can be an active part of that by, as a grassroots, you know, calling your elected officials, knowing who your state representative is, your state senator, and asking them, what are you going to do for pregnant women in need right now that has pro-life solutions for her?
Yeah, and invite a lot of these senators and congressional peoples to tour a crisis pregnancy center and see what they actually do. We had, you know, congressional people and senators making comments about crisis pregnancy centers that were just not true on public platforms, on their Twitter, and they had no understanding of what they really did. Just basically falsely representing what crisis pregnancy centers really do. So we have to stand up and challenge those elected leaders when they say things that are not true.
Absolutely right. You know, there's a lot of animosity towards the pro-life movement. If you've turned on the news in the last year, you know this. We've had, I think, over 175 acts of vandalism against pro-life groups. That's churches mm-hmm. and pregnancy resource centers. Some are burned to the ground. I mean, this isn't just, you know, a broken window we're talking about. It's very violent, very contentious, and really it's, the saddest part is women are the ones that are hurt by that animosity. You know, I think the governor of Arizona is a prime example. She just cut funding to a maternity home for homeless pregnant women.
Wow.
They're going to be on the streets now because of the governor of Arizona. That's certainly not pro-choice, let alone pro-woman.
No. Oh, yeah, pro-women, and then they tout pro-women. And then on top of that, Chelsea, the pro-life movement is up against, you know, big corporations that funnel millions of dollars into Planned Parenthood and other abortion organizations such as Starbucks, and even Bezos's ex-wife put hundreds of millions of dollars she donated to Planned Parenthood. I mean, that's what the pro-life movement is up against, is all this money from big tech and big government. Big tech and big business supporting pro-abortion.
Yes, that's correct. I think I read last that less than 0.01% of all charitable giving goes to the pro-life cause, you know, and the funny part about that is I think that the majority of Americans do believe in protecting children in the womb, at least at some point during pregnancy. And to say this is the number one cause of death, not only in our country, but in the world. And it is the only issue really that is actually life and death. We're talking about almost a million children a year dying. It's huge. And so there should be a moral priority, a giving priority there, certainly. But we are up against a mammoth of an industry. But we have hope. We know that these women want care and love, and that we have a robust foundation here to get that started.
Chelsea, we have a couple minutes left with you here on Catholic Connection. Can you speak to our listeners again about what they can do? I think we're all called to do something in the pro-life movement. What can people do today?
I think the first thing you can do is, if you have been gifted with time, to donate your time, calling state representatives, calling elected officials, state senators, and asking what they're going to do to pass programs for women. That's a huge way to expand our network of care and reach these women. And the other thing is, if you've been gifted with resources and money, to donate to pro-life causes and to also help give to these women in our communities. Some of them, maybe you have available safe housing nearby. Maybe you can throw a baby shower for her. Maybe you can help her get on her way or find a job. And so us being connected enough with pro-life charitable resources in our community to know when those needs arise that we can come alongside and meet them. Those are huge ways to get involved. So go to humancoalition.org and we can help get you pointed in the right direction. Sign up for our listserv. It's going to take all of us in this movement.
Any last words before we let you go here, Chelsea, you want to share with our listeners here on Catholic Connection? Anything else that I didn't ask you that you really want to get across?
Well, yes, we do actually. We produced really a blueprint, we hope, to help lead the movement into not just a post-Roe generation, but what we would say is a post-abortion generation. You know, our goal is to make abortion unthinkable and unnecessary. And we've got a kit online at our website, humancoalition.org, where you can see what pro-life laws we recommend in your state that get passed. And you, each one of us can be an advocate for women and children.
Great. Chelsea, thank you so much for joining us here on Catholic Connection and sharing this story with us.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Chelsea Yeoman joining us here on Catholic Connection. And thanks to all of our guests for joining us here on Catholic Connection here. We're celebrating Black History Month. We had a wonderful interview earlier in the 8 o'clock hour with a local principal here in Detroit from Loyola High School in Detroit, Wyatt Jones III, principal, sharing some great information and about Black History Month and the wonderful role models we can look to and how we should be all learning about each other. We have one universal church, but we're so rich in our history and our culture, our ethnicities, the rites within the church. I'm a big proponent in learning about different cultures. So, you know, do some research about Black History Month and people in, who have led the way, historical figures in history. Thank you, Dr. Michael Foley, for joining us and the author of the book with Dr. Father Leo Petalinghug, The Dining with the Saints, and, of course, Chelsea for joining us here on Catholic Connection. I'll be sitting in Teresa's host chair tomorrow morning, and she'll be back in her host chair on Monday. God bless. Have a wonderful day.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.